World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
And, all right, folks, we were bumping up against the clock a little bit here today. And out there, don't y'all panic because we weren't right up at 7 o'clock. But this is show number, Spencer, 1,861. Is that right, brother? 1,000. We have been doing, this is show number 1,861. You tell me that's not a few weekdays right there. Happy to do it. And we got to, we're going to break from, we're going to break from our rhythm a little bit here. We're going to do, we got a guest this morning. And, my good buddy,
Chuck Thurston.
Dr. Chuck Thurston, who I've known for, I don't know, probably 30 years, maybe not that long. We were on terrestrial radio at the same station years ago here in Columbus, Ohio, WRFD AM. And Dr. Chuck had a show called Evidences. And he said that he's an emergency room doctor who reads his Bible way too much. And the Bible is true and he can prove it. That was basically the theme of his show, Evidences. And I kind of lost contact with Chuck for a while. I don't know, we go different ways. And then just last week or 2 weeks ago, I reconnected with him when we were going down to our event down in Kentucky. We called it Kentucky of Cincinnati and started an email back and forth. And I had him on my Brideon show and the reaction was so good on my Brideon show. People said, Coach, we would like to ask Chuck some questions. How come because we can't do that at Brideon, at least not really able to do that yet. So I got a hold of Chuck again, said, Chuck, you got to get up early in the morning. He lives here in Ohio, by the way. Got to get up here early in the morning because people in the queue, my real family, they want to hear from you today. So we had to walk Chuck through getting on Google Hangouts and all that kind of stuff. But we got him in here, probably just crawled out of bed. Most people aren't up. Are running like we are here at 7 a.m.
I'm going to try to wake my computer up for an hour.
Yeah, Chuck's trying to work on his computer. He's got his computer and his cell phone. He's working with us. So look, here's why Chuck was so stimulating to me the last time. He is fighting. In fact, he sent me something I'm going to show you today, folks. We'll get it up here in just a second. Chuck, I'm looking for it here. Public policies and protocol, the 7 steps to killing a patient. We're going to go through that here today as well. But Dr. Chuck has been working diligently over the last 3 years trying to save patients who are in hospitals and are being killed. And I called him a whistleblower the other day. He said, I'm not really a whistleblower. But I said, well, yeah, you are. Yeah, you are a whistleblower. And he's fighting even right now to, he's got a couple other patients. One who's the doctor is trying to get rid of the guy. Or was it the lawyer, Chuck? The lawyer's trying to get rid of the guy. And they're killing people. Left and right. So Chuck, I'll shut up because I'm just kind of, I'm walking all over what I'm trying to do and I want to give the time to you. So Chuck, the floor is yours, man. Hey, Chuck, I want you to know this. I interrupt for a living. So be ready at any moment.
Okay, good. Interrupt. Well, I'm going to try to set this thing up so that I'm not.
You look good, man. You look like you've been sleeping in a cave for about 6 months. Other than that, you look great.
I have. There you go. That's better.
There you go.
Okay. I don't need my glasses on for that. I'm Dr. Chuck Thurston. I've been an ER doctor for about half a century, worked in over 100 hospitals in a dozen states and almost as many countries, do a lot of short-term medical missions in Haiti, Honduras, Belize, Guatemala, and Kentucky. And also I've done a lot of military stuff. As a contractor, not like this. And I'm just recovering from lymphoma, completely healed. But I've got a few things that are still coming back, like my hair. I got Trey Gowdy hair right now. And then I haven't had a beard since I was about 20, but everything has started to grow. I just let. I'm not going to quit. I can't make it stop, and I'm not going to. So I ended up being an ER doctor in a COVID ICU at Queens, New York in 2021 in May, right in the height of everything. And the story starts there. But lately, I have been advising people as a first and second medical opinion company. We founded a company called First and Second Medical Opinions. The website is medical-opinions.com. If that's not the one you find me on, you find me on scienceandwonders.com. It's all one word, and it's not science. It's scienceandwonders.com. And First and Second Medical Opinions was started because it says in the Old Testament that King Asa was diseased at his feet and sought only to the physicians and not to the Lord. And he died 3 years later of whatever was wrong with his feet. And his problem was not seeking to the physicians. It was seeking only to the physicians and seeking them first instead of the Lord. So we founded First and Second Medical Opinions so that the Lord could be the first opinion and mankind would be the second. And so we engage the Lord, we bring him in on things, and we ask him what we know. It says in Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me and I will show thee great and mighty things that you don't know.
Amen.
First thing you have to do is make sure you don't know it. Thou knowest not. That's my motto. And so most of my consults are in areas of medicine and expertise that I have zero information on to start with. And so we both, the patient and me and the family and whoever else is on in on it, go to the Lord and say, we don't know. Could you help us? And it says, if any man lack wisdom in James, let him ask of God who giveth liberally, not like liberal politically, that means like freely, with what it used to mean, who, and he upbraids not. He won't run you down for asking a stupid question. God says there's no such thing as a stupid question, but he has a lot of stupid people, and we're sheep. Because he called us stupid three different times. He said, all we like sheep have gone astray. Well, that's, sheep aren't smart. That's calling us stupid. And then he also said that if the salt, this is past the salt. If the salt has become, if the salt has lost its savor, where will it be salted? Well, that's not what it says at all in Greek. It says if the salt has become a moron, and that Greek word moron means moron. And so it says if the salt has become stupid, it can't be made smart.
Wow. If the salt becomes stupid. Right. Got a lot of that going on, Chuck.
Oh, well, Jesus told the disciples that. And salt is very interesting. There's smart salt, there's stupid salt, there's all kinds of different salts, and the chemistry of salt is tremendous. I won't need to go into that. That's a rabbit hole that I won't go down. But that, because we're so stupid, everybody's stupid, and we are all, you know, the only ancient document that says all men are created equal is in Psalm, I think, 33. Says, he looketh from heaven, he seeth the sons of men, and he createth their hearts alike. We are in fact not all equal. I heard Kevin McCarthy misquoted the other day, said we're all equal. No, we're not all equal. We are all created equal, not equal unless we're created. You want to be equal? Everybody wants to be equal. Everybody wants to be more equal. You want to be more equal? You got to have a creator. If you have a creator, then that creator levels our playing field. So now we got a sports motif, and we got a salt motif. I think that's my.
You're doing good, man. You're doing good, Chuck.
Introduction.
So let's get into it, man. What's going on in the horse pistols here, Chuck?
Well, that's what they are. A hospital is a sick factory, and I never really liked hospitals, and I didn't really want to be a hospital doctor, but I got pretty good at emergency medicine. I started working at Riverside Methodist Hospital in Columbus, Ohio, in the early '70s. When I was still in college, and I was an orderly, that's what they called it. But orderlies that back then got to suture, got to put casts on people, got to do cardiograms, you weren't just hauling patients around, you got to do things. And then when I got accepted into Toledo to medical school, all the doctors in the ER took me under their wing and started teaching me the stuff they knew. And I learned how to do plastic surgery from Ron Nail, who was a wonderful hand surgeon and plastic surgeon. I worked with all the ER doctors who were at Riverside, and they taught me, they absolutely ruined me, because the 1970s Riverside Methodist Hospital was the finest hospital I've ever seen in my whole life. Still, I started out at the top and then slid downhill to whatever else is out there. And so I became highly disappointed in some other places. So they wrecked me completely. I began to ask questions, that's basically what happened. And I found out how stupid everybody was. So we have to go ask. So we've got a problem right now with COVID. Everybody's afraid. Everybody says COVID did this and COVID did that and COVID did everything else. Now COVID didn't do anything. The fear of COVID did it. Roosevelt was right about the one thing he was right about. The only thing we have to fear is fear itself. And COVID is the fear of COVID has wrecked the economy, put the wrong people in office, allowed corruption to take place, and turned hospitals into greed. Mark Twain said, it's hard to get people interested in corruption unless they can get some of it. Well, they kind of invited me into their inner lair to get some of the corruption and paid me an unbelievably high rate of pay because no one would go to New York and work with coronavirus patients. They were all afraid that they'd die. And it was a great fear, and I didn't care. God numbers your days, not me. And I thought I'd already gotten it, which I had not, and I was wrong. But I worked in a unit where we didn't have anybody die because we used hydroxychloroquine as the antidote for it, which worked. And Dr. de Blasio and Dr. Cuomo, who actually were the mayor and governor of New York and New York City, the sewer of the world, an aside, there's a book called The Pioneer Priests of North America written by Father Jogues, and it's his journal about all the things he observed in the early 1600s, the 1610, 1605 New Amsterdam city that became New York. And he noted that there were more brothels and taverns and bars than there were churches, and that the city was full of gangs and crime, and people would steal things from him, and there was assault, and it never changed. It's just there. So we got to pray for Donald Trump when he's in that sewer, that he be in protection, and we just bring him up just before the Lord, and we ask him for that protection first, because that's the first stupid, is we got rid of a good leader. The second stupid was we allowed a stupid leader by the name of Fauci to con us into believing a bunch of lies about COVID. They said social distancing would help keep the spread of the COVID down. So they used the statistics for tuberculosis and inflated them. If you have TB and you get more than 3 feet, you get closer than 3 feet to a person with TB, they can cough TB, tuberculosis, Mycobacterium tuberculi, they can cough that on you and you can catch it. But it really is not the most common way to catch COVID. It's not that common in the air. You get it when you have a mask and you cough on the mask, and then you're not a surgeon, so you touch the mask, your fingers touch the saliva on the mask, you touch a doorknob, somebody else touches the doorknob, they eat McDonald's and they got COVID. It's that simple, without washing their hands. So hand washing and that sort of thing was important. The second thing is that the 3-foot rule got expanded to 6 feet. There's no reason for 6 feet. And it didn't make any difference, none, zero. Social distancing made no difference. And so they got churches to agree to be socially distanced and not sing because they might get fomites in the air. And instead of having the Lord be able to inhabit the praises of his people, we decided not to have praise so that there'd be no Lord to inhabit it. And so we very wisely and very cautiously believed Dr. Fauci. Well, Dr. Fauci, his name, he's from Sicily, his family is, and they made farm implements, and the one implement that they were the best at making was a sickle, and that's what Fauci means in Italian, is sickle. So In Revelation it says the death angel standing there with the sickle, and the angel says, thrust in thy sickle and reap the earth. That's what Fauci did. He was the sickle reaper. He was the grim reaper. Now in Revelation, that the death angel, and in the we have Passover coming up here tomorrow. And that's when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Who's I? I is the Lord Jesus Christ, who was the death angel who passed over Egypt. And when he saw the blood, he passed them over because it was a prophecy of his own blood that would be shed on the day right after Passover when he was crucified. So this death angel we allowed in as an imposter, complete fake. He invented some terrible drugs, and he applied other things, and he killed a lot of people.
But Chuck, let me stop you right there. Sure. You knew from the very beginning, ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine worked. Is that true? Did they know that, Chuck, in the hospitals?
Well, in Canada, there was a hospital in Ontario, in Hamilton, Ontario, Canada. There was a nursing home, and one of the floors, I think it was the fifth floor, all got scabies. The staff got it, the patients got it, and scabies is terrible. It's a terrible scourge, and I've been wiping it out ever since. But they had scabies, so everybody on that floor was given ivermectin to get rid of the scabies. And then COVID hit that nursing home, and everybody in the nursing home, staff and patients, all died of COVID, except the floor that had the ivermectin. And Canadian government knew that in January of 2020. So everybody knew it if they would have let it out, but they concealed it. Because Canada is like a Fauci on steroids. It's illegal to jailbreak a hospital. If you leave a hospital, it's a felony. And I have some patients there that have that problem right now. And we need to pray for them that they are not kept in that. And if you refuse the shot, it's a felony. And if you refuse the drugs that they want to give, like remdesivir. Remdesivir was a drug Fauci used for AIDS to kill AIDS patients, and it worked. It killed lots of them. He wasn't intent on saving them. He meant to kill them, and it worked. And it creates a renal failure and liver failure in about a third of the patients who get it, no matter what. Now, not everybody dies that gets remdesivir, but it should be pronounced run. Death is near. So, everybody should have known. Everybody ought to know.
Okay, so Chuck,
ivermectin was designed to kill SARS virus. That's what it was designed for. And they found out it also killed parasites, and it wiped out river blindness in the world. And I was part of that study.
So Chuck, you're flying around or running around or doing whatever it is that you do. And you'd end up in some of these emergency rooms. You say, hey, well, listen, let's give this guy some hydroxychloroquine. Let's give him some ivermectin. And what was the response of the doctors or the hospitals, Chuck?
Well, the first place I worked was Billie Jean King at 471 in the Billie Jean King Tennis Center in the old headquarters of the 1964 World's Fair, which I visited when I was 12 in 64 with my father. And it was kind of eerie because I'm back in the same environment. If anybody's seen the movie Tomorrowland, I was the George Clooney kid in that. And I was there in 64, and I got stuck on It's a Small World. And I remember seeing all that around me. And the director of the FEMA health contractor was Caliburn. And he had purchased enough hydroxychloroquine from Uganda to cover the patients we had, because the liberal left investors and money bought up all the available hydroxychloroquine. I did not know much about ivermectin and COVID at that time. So we only use hydroxychloroquine, which is, it's got a disadvantage because about 1% of the people who get it can get atrial fibrillation. And we had a 30 something cardiologist that was sitting on the pharmacy and therapeutics committee. And he was saying, but we can't use the hydroxychloroquine because it might cause AFib. AFib is a little tiny rhythm of your heart. And it can lead to blood clots and strokes and things. It's not benign, but it's not certain death. And I looked at him and I said, AFib is better than asystole. Asystole means no heartbeat.
A dead, right?
And so they, I'm the oldest guy at the committee, and they're all making fun of me. And so they said, well, okay, we'll do it. And so we gave everybody hydroxychloroquine. And then later on, I found out about ivermectin, and it's much safer. I would prefer, my protocol is ivermectin, vitamin C, zinc, vitamin D, three. And at this point, if you've had the shot, you should get natokinase, NATTOKINASE. Natokinase was advertised recently by Dr. Peter McCullough, who's one of the frontline doctors, as a spike protein digester. It will remove the spike protein. People get stuck because it doesn't. It's a permanent stain on your information molecules in your cells and in your body. And the spike proteins don't go away. There's no natural way for you to digest them and dissolve them and get rid of them. But nattokinase can do that, and that will get rid of all the side effects of the jab. It's a very important, it's the most important thing I got to say all day, as I found that out about it.
So Chuck, what's going on in the emergency rooms?
Okay, there are seven things that I have in an outline in my phone, which I have no access
we
to.
We have it up on the screen right now.
Oh, good. Oh, great. I can see it. The first thing that they do is they isolate the patient. The second thing, and we'll go over each one of those things if you want. We would just go down through the list. First, they isolate you. And what's the next one on?
Withhold.
Then you withhold the known treatments like ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, quercetin. Those are all ionophores. In a Greek vessel in the trading days of the BC Greek Empire, they had these little vases that were pointed on the end. They would fit down in the hull of a boat, and they were called amphora. The word phore in Greek means to carry. And all these quercetin, hydroxychloroquine, and ivermectin are amphora. They're ionophores. They carry ions. And the ion they carry is zinc. So they carry the zinc to the virus, and they attach it to the virus, and the zinc is what kills the virus. That's why Cold-EEZE used to work. It still does. That's why Zicam used to work, but it doesn't work because the FDA made them take the zinc out of the Zicam. The ZI is the element symbol for it on the periodic table of the element, and it doesn't have zinc in it anymore because they made them take it out because they knew it worked. But Cold-EEZE works, and Cold-EEZE was a sort of an effective treatment.
So Chuck, let me ask you something.
Go ahead.
Who's making these decisions to withhold this stuff? Where's this coming from?
Well, we the people. We agreed to it. We said, sure, yeah, you must. We've got a cold, so we have to suspend the Second Amendment, the First Amendment. We have to suspend government by legitimate voting, and we agreed to do that. We were stupid. Remember, all we like sheep are stupid. We like sheep, let them do it. But it's who we let do it that we continue to let do it, and they're doing it now. So when you're isolated, they separate you from your loved ones, and so people can't come and pray with you. They separate you from your legal counsel, so you can't question their massive brain of decision and the making that they have, because they're so much better. And I'm just a regular, ordinary human being. I think of myself as a really old medical student, just still trying to struggle and learn.
So what they would do, Chuck, is they would isolate you. So number one, you would get discouraged. Number two, you'd have no advocate. Nobody would be fighting for you. You couldn't talk to your lawyer. They just isolated you, and then they withheld the treatment, and then they sedated you. That was the next thing, right?
Okay, Chuck? Sedation is the next trick. So you don't get all the good things I just told you about. And why they work. The sedation is, you're anxious. We'll give you something to you're anxious. We got to treat your anxiety. Now, this came there was a wedge in the log. There was a thin edge that came in and split the log open back about 10 years before COVID, when Big Pharma decided they wanted to sell more drugs. And the way to sell more drugs is to make people need them more. So a couple of things they did. They made the normal blood sugar be 90 instead of 100. That sold billions of dollars of more of metformin and stuff. And they also said that pain is the fifth vital sign. Now, this is part where we're going to not be sheep if we know something. There's a difference between a symptom and a sign. A symptom is something you say you have, and you can be lying. I got all kinds of, I'm an ER doctor. I got a lie meter that won't quit. It's not near quite as good as the ER nurse, but don't ever lie to an ER nurse. You'll be sorry. But they can tell when you're lying. And a symptom can be a lie. I have a headache. Well, I can't tell you don't have a headache. I get chills. Well, if your skin starts to have the hair stand up, you can see that. That's a sign. Blood pressure that you measure is a sign. The temperature is a sign. But pain is a symptom. You can be lying about your pain. Sir, on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the worst pain you've ever had, how big a party pack of Vicodin did you think you were going to be able to take home from the ER tonight? All right.
Yeah.
So they made it the fifth vital sign, and we have to address their pain. So if you don't make them so they can't say they have pain, there's two ways to do that. You give them enough pain medicine that if they really had pain, it might go away. Or if they're not having pain, they become unconscious because you've drugged them. But either way, you get rid of the complaint and you have addressed their pain, and you've now addressed the fifth vital sign, which is not a sign. So we got this big lie cooking.
So
the author lies.
isolate you. They withhold good treatment from you. They sedate you so you don't care. You just kind of lay there and let them do whatever they want to. Remember, folks, family can't come in. They have no advocate. You're laying in there. They've isolated you. They've withheld the treatment, and now they've knocked you out. They've sedated you, so you're just laying there waiting to die. And then, Chuck, you say you habituate. What does that mean, Chuck?
Well, the nice thing about drugs like narcotics and benzodiazepines and tranquilizers. Benzodiazepines are things like Ativan and Valium. Valiums, if you're a druggie, you want some Valiums. Learn how to pronounce it so you and say things to the doctor so it sounds like you're serious and don't sound like you just bought it on the street. But all those tranquilizers and narcotics. Narco means to sleep, and they are addictive. They you become used to them after a while. You take a Vicodin every day for 5 days, and pretty soon you need two a day, and then pretty soon you need three a day, and pretty soon there isn't enough to make your pain go away because you've now become addicted to it. And that's how heroin works. Heroin is a version of morphine, is a version of fentanyl is the
Chuck,
big one.
You know way too much, Chuck. You know way too much. Keep going.
Okay, so you get these big name drugs that you're stuck on. You can't get off of them. And so now you're addicted and you're constipated, because that's the other thing they do. And they are make you go to sleep, and they depress your respirations. The only thing narcotics do is make you breathe shallower and less often.
So supposedly you got problem breathing, and they give you medication that decreases your ability to breathe. Is that right, Chuck?
I've actually seen nurses tell patients, we're going to give you a little morphine, sir, so your lungs can better relax and expand.
All right. Isolate, withhold, sedate, habituate. What's the next one? Go on down there, Spencer. Paralyze. No, suppress.
Okay, the next thing they do is they suppress your immune system. And this is the way you don't treat COVID. You go to the ER and they give you a big slug of steroids. Yeah, we got to shut that down. We got to fire the police. Defund the police, because your immune system is your police force. And you got to disband them all. Just shut them all down, because it's that cytokine storm. They called it that. Now, a cytokine storm is not a meteorological event. Jim Cantore's not in your left lung doing an on-scene hurricane wind in your because you've got a storm. A cytokine storm is an inflammatory reaction because your immune cells started to attack the virus and attack other things, and they get a little carried away. That isn't to say that some police didn't get carried away and that some law enforcement didn't get carried away, but not all of them. And you don't got to get rid of all of them. So we got rid of all of them by shutting down your adrenals with the steroids. Because your adrenals make them, and if you get them from outside, they're a factory. Then they just got a big import of Toyotas into the state, and they can't sell their Fords because the steroids is a Japanese import, it's a Chinese import. So you shut down the workforce, so you don't make the adrenaline that you need. You don't make the immune cells are dumbed down. They're not allowed to attack.
We got you. So they suppress your immune system, which you need to fight it off. In other words, he's saying these little soldiers, they give you some medicine so those little soldiers don't fight quite as hard.
And then all you really needed to do is get one or two of them to stop fighting, and not all of them. And yeah. So that there's a steroid called budesonide or Pulmicort that you inhale in an aerosol, but with a breathing treatment. And it's a tiny little bit amount that goes right to the front lines of the lungs and stops it right there cold. And there's a doctor in Midland, Texas, that almost lost his license to the Texas Medical Board, that advertised this to me, and I believed it.
Paralyze, Chuck. Suppress, then paralyze, and then poison. Okay.
Paralyze, there's a drug called Presidex. We're going to give you some Presidex that'll make the ventilator not have to, if you're bucking on the ventilator and you're coughing, and it's a tube, it's in your throat. But that you're not supposed to have a tube in your throat. You're not supposed to have air shoved in your lungs. You're supposed to inhale it. God made us inhale air, not shove it in our throat. That's a message for all you hellfire and damnation preachers. The gospel is not intubation. So you don't have to shove it down your throat. Now, Jonathan Edwards, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God, resulted in a lot of good stuff. So I'm not condemning everybody, but sometimes it gets a little too far. So when you get this tube in your throat, you can't talk, you can't swallow, it's awful, and you cut and you choke, and the ventilator is not allowed to put air in your lungs because you keep pushing air back out. So they make you lungs, so they paralyze your diaphragm, they paralyze your brain, they give you a Prasetec. Wow. Memorize that name. They give you Prasetec. Now there's times when it's important, like if you're in surgery and you're unconscious and the doctor's working with you, are you going to have a procedure? It's okay. The conscious sedation and unconscious sedation and sleeping and anesthesia, you pay the anesthesiologist a whole lot of money because he wants to be able to wake you up. You want to pay the guy a lot of money to wake you up. But you got to be asleep for a while to take care of it. So they do that, but they do it in a wrong spirit.
Okay, so Chuck, look, so they're in the hospital. They're in the hospital for supposedly a respiratory illness, and the hospital attacks the respiratory system. Is that what you're saying?
Right. Yeah, they tell the cytokine storm to stop. So the thing that's attacking the respiratory system is an out-of-control police force. So you don't have to fire the police, you just have to discipline them. Hold on, boys, stop it. The show's over, go home. We need two officers to handcuff that one guy and right. not put the knee on his neck and kill him, okay? That would be a good thing. And that's all you have to do. But if you get one of them gets out of control, then it just
So we get it. So I want to be able to get people in here to ask you questions. Help me here, Chuck. What is it that you're doing now? Because still, all across America, people are being killed in hospitals.
The medical profession is scared to death to prescribe ivermectin or hydroxychloroquine or even quercetin for COVID. Now, we're sort of out of the COVID, deadly COVID epidemic. The new versions of COVID are not as bad, and and that has to do with herd immunity, which has a lot more to do with life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, which I won't go into. But the doctors are afraid. And very good doctors have lost their licenses in Ohio for prescribing ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine for COVID because the CDC said it wouldn't work, and the CDC claimed they had legal authority to tell you not to. Well, medicine in the states, according to our Constitution, the United States Constitution, which we threw in the trash, is not governed by the federal government. It's local county health officers, it's local state law, and it's local regulation. And so the CDC threatened the local state medical board in Ohio with loss of income and funding and threats and legal saber rattling. And so they took doctors' licenses away. Thompson, isn't that the recent case that they just Pam Popper did the case on, what's his first name? Ron Thompson, is that who it is?
I don't know.
No, he's a doctor that lost his license in New York State.
We have one in here in our group from Maine that had it done to him, Chuck.
Right, and then one of the best doctors in Columbus, Ohio, had his license taken away, not on the official charge of ivermectin or hydroxychloroquine, but on something much more mild than that. But it was because he was curing COVID patients, and he was doing it very well. And I won't embarrass him by telling his name, but he likes manna. So anyway, anybody who knows him will know what that is. And he's a great doctor, one of the best doctors I ever met. And they took his license away because so that's fear. So they won't do it because of fear. And so they do nothing. They send you home. You got to go home and do nothing.
So folks, they isolate you, they withhold treatment, they sedate you with narcotics, they habituate the oxygen flow through narcotics, suppress your immune system, they paralyze you, and then they poison you. That's the treatment that for at least 2 years people were receiving in the emergency or in the hospital. Is that right, Chuck?
Yeah, and I discovered since that, because of that scabies epidemic in the nursing home in Canada, and because of my experiences as missionary medicine and with malaria and parasites and parasite diseases and things, we'd used a lot of ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine for liver flukes, for river blindness, for malaria, for all sorts of things. And so I'm very comfortable with using either ivermectin or hydroxychloroquine for it would work for COVID if you wanted to, but I became very concerned, and I still am, about this massive epidemic of scabies we've been having. So I've had some investigators call me up and say, why so many ivermectin prescriptions? And I said, why? What are you giving it for? Isn't that a HIPAA violation if I tell you? You don't have the right to ask me that. Well, you're not giving it for COVID, are you? Well, thanks, darn. I'm gonna write that down. Thank you very much.
So Chuck, what about the horse paste?
Well, if you go into any farm fleet or any not they don't have farm fleets anymore. Any and Tractor Supply or Rural King, there's always a teenager there who's been to medical school and residency and internship, and he's a virologist, and he says that's only for horses, and you're not a horse, and it would be dangerous if you took the horse paste, and they call it horse paste. So we discovered something kind of fun. I'm going to give something away that I kept secret a long time, but we're out of that era now. We had a wonderful patient in East Texas, Keith and his wife, Sullins, and she made goat's milk soap for the flea market and said that she heard from her veterinarian that ivermectin is absorbed through the skin 100%. Could she make some goat's milk soap up and put ivermectin, put melt horse paste into it and use that? And I said, yes. And we got him out of the ICU in about 3 days.
So in other words, they've spread the ivermectin on their skin and it would be absorbed. Is that right, Chuck?
You have to go in, you have to make the bottle, you wear a tallit, or you have a rosary, or do something religious and have a big old cross or something. Look religious, because it'll scare the woke people out of there. I try not to look too religious all the time. I'm not religious, actually. I just know Jesus. We're friends. And I work for a Jewish carpenter, and I honor him, but I'm not religious. And you take your religious attitude in there with a bottle that's labeled holy anointing oil, not ivermectin, and they don't mind. And you anoint the bottle, because they're going to die. They know they're going to die anyway. So you're in there getting them ready like an Egyptian mummy for the afterlife, and you're giving them an afterlife.
You're rubbing ivermectin on their skin.
Yeah, feet. Put it on the feet. Feet's the best place.
Wow. Oh, my goodness. Hey, look,
And I get rid of their scabies. That's all I did it for, is so they wouldn't get scabies. I've not written the first prescription for COVID. That's not kosher.
Amen. Well, Dr. Paul, let's get Dr. Paul in here. Dr. Paul's in Maine, and he's been through it with his medical board and all that, Chuck. So come on in, Doc.
Hey, Chuck. How you doing, brother?
But I worked in Maine a little bit, around Bar Harbor and stuff.
Yeah, it's definitely the seat of the state these days. Thanks for being in the trenches for so long. I think you'll know what I mean by this, but the answer is deliverance from fear.
Yes.
And I'll just leave it at that, because you know, you got a lot of stuff you're working out in your head. Yeah, ivermectin, getting back, you know, God gave us the earth, everything we need to heal him. We agree with that, right, Chuck?
Yes.
Okay. Ivermectin used to be called avermectin. It comes from the soil. My dog was eating it the other day because it had worms. Pay attention to the environment. And by the way, it is deliverance, real deliverance we need.
Amen. Janine, come on in.
Years ago, when my mother used to get sick, the doctor would give her zithromycin. Can you explain that? I mean, doctors will not give you that stuff. So what exactly is that?
Well, zithromycin is a macrolide antibiotic. There's different categories of antibiotics. That's one of them. And it was developed, and it's most useful. It is the only real cure for Legionnaire's pneumonia, Legionella pneumophila. It's the only thing it's really indicated for. It also has some anti-parasite things, but it is the single most common cause of atrial fibrillation in America. Every urgent care that hands out Z-Packs or azithromycin, the Z is the Z in azithromycin, it puts people at risk of atrial fibrillation. When I first heard that, I thought that was just, you know, industrial sabotage, where one company was trying to say a bad thing about another company. And I researched it, and I researched it this way. I took the last 100 people I'd given Z-Pak to, and I found out that most of the ones over 50, that about a third of them had gotten atrial fibrillation within 2 weeks of that prescription, and I felt bad about it. So it does cause that. It's an easy thing to fix. But you don't need, it's not critical. It's a better drug for the bacterial part, because you get infections. The viruses have friends called bacteria, and it's still okay to treat them. But there's lots of other ways to treat bacteria, with frequency, with prayer, with certain herbs and spices. Yerba Santa, for instance, holy weed. Santa is holy, and yerba is weed, and holy weed, holly weed, which if you make a tea out of it, you can put that in a nebulizer, and it'll cure most pneumonias. But if you wanted to get a regular traditional, I'm upset with Big Pharma. I use them all the time. I just don't like to be abused and manipulated by them. So a
what does somebody do, Chuck, if they go to the hospital, whatever, and they want a second opinion? Are they able to get a second opinion, Chuck?
No.
Or do you just have to go by what the ER doctor says?
I used to tell people, you want a second opinion? Okay, you're ugly too. On the second opinion, come and see me tomorrow. The second opinion is ordinarily from the ER doctor, who is way out there. The ER doctors know a little bit about absolutely everything, but they know whether or not you need heart surgery, but they can't do the heart surgery. They know whether or not you need to have a plate on that bone, but they don't do the plate. So they're not, they do a lot of suturing, my job is colds, flus, and gunshot wounds. That's what the ER doctor does. But the ER doctor ends up knowing everything. So the cardiologist comes to the ER doctor and asks him about orthopedics. Orthopedist comes to the ER doctor and asks him about kidneys. The kidney doctor comes and asks him about heart stuff. So he ends up knowing stuff like that. So the best second opinion is really an ER doctor if you can get him to open up. But right now you have to get him to come to your bedside.
Because I see so many different things. They're not a specialized. Glenn, come on. I'm sorry, Clay, come on then. And Glenn.
Yeah, Dr. Chuck, other than not going to the hospital to get treated, do you have any recommendations on how we can protect ourselves from these death protocols that they're in, the remdesivir and stuff?
Good question.
Well, I found myself, I was working in Laredo, Texas, and Laredo, incidentally, is owned by the cartel because it's south of Interstate 10. Anything south of Interstate 10 is really, Interstate 10 is the U.S. border in South Texas. And we just let them think they're in the United States and can vote and everything, but it's part of Mexico, and the cartels own everything south of 10, except in El Paso, where Medical Center Hospital, University Hospital was, although technically right just a little bit south of 10, was still in the USA. They wouldn't let me use hydroxychloroquine, they wouldn't let me use ivermectin, they wouldn't let me use, and we didn't have it in stock, and we couldn't even do blood with antibodies in it. And I got COVID from a patient. I went back to the hotel and I had a fever and I had a sweat and I began to have a cough. And I had COVID once before pretty bad. I had it bad enough that I should have died from it because I had all the prerequisites. I was 100 pounds more overweight than I am. I'm not overweight at all now. I got a COVID diet and it worked. Also, I got lymphoma and that helped. So those two things got me. So I'm on no medicines any longer, but I had diabetes, high blood pressure, and obesity, and I was also allergic to lisinopril, which are ACE inhibitors. If you get an angioedema from ACE inhibitors, those are the people who died. That's why only about 1 in 50 were dying, because only about 1 in 50 have the specific allergy to those drugs. So I didn't know what to do. I went to the local pharmacy, and they had some quinine water. I said, well, okay, I'll get some quinine water and some zinc, because hydroxychloroquine is just hydroxylated chlorinated quinine. So I took some quinine water back with some zinc, and I drank two bottles of that stuff, which is a tiny amount of quinine. It's only about a third or a tenth of what they would give you if you were getting hydroxychloroquine. But with the zinc and the quinine water, I woke up the next morning with no fever. None. And I was completely, I could go to work. The FLIR camera wasn't going to set me back out in the parking lot. So I did the only natural thing for a scientist to do, that I am a scientist. I'm a real scientist. I deliberately infected myself again on another patient. And this time I had some quinine water with me. And as soon as I started getting the fever and chills and a cough, I drank the quinine water and the zinc. And within an hour, it went away. So the longer you wait on any of these treatments, the harder it is to cure.
Well, man, Glenn, come on in. Go ahead, Clay. Go ahead.
I was just saying, I was just wondering, if we did have to go in the hospital, how could we avoid them from giving our family members the remdesivir? Do you have any tips on how we deal with the hospital?
Yes. Make sure that no one goes into the hospital by themselves, and if they won't let you in the room, that you are their power of attorney and that the patient is not allowed to make any decisions on their own, that a power of attorney in the waiting room who has a phone, who can call a lawyer, who can call the pastor, who can call the prayer chain, who can call the Lord, and they take care of it. And then have those people who are POA do that.
Amen. Amen. Glenn.
Yes, thank you. Good morning, everyone. Dr. Chuck, you're like drinking from a medical fire hydrant. I'm trying to absorb this.
Sorry.
It's all good. Two questions. What are your thoughts on chlorine dioxide? And also, what was the name of that book that Isaac Jogues wrote, you said, about New York?
Oh, it's Father Jogues, J-O-G-U-E-S, I think. Father Jogues. It was called Pioneer Priests of North America.
Okay.
The Jesuit priests who came to the Iroquois and Abenaki and the Northern Indians were not like the conquistador Jesuits. The conquistador Jesuits were like Marine stormtroopers that would either accept that Jesus got killed. The Society of Jesus Catholic priests, I'm not Catholic, I'm Protestant charismatic crazy person, but I have lots of good Catholic friends, and the Catholic priests in North America were kinder to the Indians, and they actually gave their lives. Father Jogues actually has a section that says, I am writing this with my only remaining finger as they cut my other fingers off. And
he was murdered by the Mohawk, right? And there's a statue of him in Lake George in New York. That's why I asked that.
Oh, I didn't know that. I have to go see that.
Yeah, yeah, it's big.
He's real less the Mohawks.
Yeah. So what do you think of chlorine dioxide?
I think it's probably okay. I took some and I got very sick on it. I took it wrong and I had a personal bad experience with it. That was probably because of my unique allergy to lisinopril and other things. But apparently it cured the whole country of Bolivia. Apparently it was very effective other places, and I have lots of people that swear by it. I kind of swore at it, but I haven't worked that all out. I'm a really good diagnostician. I'm a lousy prophet, and I don't really see. I can do other people's diagnoses, but sometimes my own is a little tough.
So, Chuck, would it be safe to say that the pharmaceutical companies have seized control of all forms of treatment? Is that a fair statement to make, Chuck?
No, they haven't yet, but they're trying. They also want to get over-the-counter and naturopathic drugs. They have National Institutes of Health, NIH, has a grant that they will give people who study what are called CAM, complementary and auxiliary or applied medicines, alternative medicines, CAM, complementary and alternative medicines. And those are your chiropractors and naturopath, and I have great respect for them, and people who do machines like on-demand machines, O-N-D-A-M-E-D, on-demand, or true Rife machines or biomeridian machines, and they measure the frequencies in your body. And they're the true practitioners. The founder of all internal medicine was Sir William Osler, and he was most proud of his skill as a naturopath and as an acupuncturist. But we've abandoned that in allopathic medicine, which I'm an MD. So it had its roots in that, but they want to make even over-the-counter and naturopathic drugs, herbs and spices, yerba santa, natokinase, all those sorts of things. They want to make them a prescription-only also drug.
Wow.
Get it.
Vinny, come on in.
Hey, Chuck, good morning. It's great to see you. You did a great video with Coates that other day. He read a letter yesterday about how you saved someone's daughter, your information. So kudos to you. So this is Vinny from Brooklyn's View. I just want to know if you think I'm on the mark or did I just hit the butler in the butt with a dart? The hospitals, the pharmaceutical medical industrial complex, it's a death system. Every protocol they established was to kill people. You know, they use the midazolam across the pond, right? They put the elderly in homes and contaminated them all. Why does anyone think that any of this was accidental? That's the point I want to stress. There are people still walking around thinking that someone made a mistake as opposed to this being purposeful. Thanks, brother. Have a blessed day.
You want me to answer that or you want to answer it?
You answer it.
My answer okay. is you're killing people purposely. Yeah.
Okay, here's the deal. Oh, go ahead. You were going to answer it. Somebody else.
Oh, I did. Thank you. Okay. Thanks, Chuck.
The deal is there's a fairly big rumor that Bill Gates, who incidentally is one of the gates of hell that the church won't can prevail against, Bill Gates and all the zero population growth people want to just decrease the population of the world, and they're trying to exterminate us. That's not true at all. They don't want us dead. They want us to be servants. They want us to be afraid. So yes. You cut 1% of the people off with fear, and the rest of them will do what you tell them. And that's what we're after. This is tyranny.
January 6th, folks. That's January 6th. What did I say? I said that last week, right? They arrest the leaders and scare everybody else.
Boom.
Right. So they arrest Trump to scare everybody, but God has a sense of humor because they arrested him on the same day that Hinckley shot Reagan.
Go ahead, Nick, come on in, Craig. Wow.
Yeah, Dr. Chuck, good ER nurse. Can't pay them enough, right? I spent 30 years in the fire department, and when you get hired, you ride the gut bucket. Guy comes in, you know, breaks up with his girlfriend, breaks up with him, and he's playing, and you know, you take her in. It's like, man, this guy, he's unconscious. First thing the nurse does, she takes his hand up about as high, and it's amazing. She just drops it right on his face, and he just kind of pushes it off to the side. She says, if you want to find somebody who's unconscious, you take that hand up, you drop it, it smacks him on the head. Boom, you got an unconscious patient. Once right. I learned that, I tell you what, saved me a lot of issues going down the road there. I knew who was playing and who wasn't. The question I have for you is, can you re-spell the name of that spike protein buster from you mentioned real quick? I didn't get a chance to write that down.
Yeah, look up Peter McCullough. He's the one that's doing it. But it was available before he made it popular recently. But it's called Natto Kinase, NATTO, two T's, Natto, and then Kinase, KINASE.
Okay, thank you very much.
Judah.
Yeah, good stuff. Obviously, you know, Mr. Gates and Dr. Fauci, and then the doctors they don't talk about, Dr. Bieber, Dr. Francis Collins, these guys pledged to the orders. And in those orders, obviously, you know, the Georgia Guidestones reduction to 500 million is that's a reduction. So the people who are left are the ones that they want to control.
Right.
But in that order, obviously, you know, people have to understand how to cleanse their body and do those types of things. Chuck, can you explain to people, you know, obviously, when you're getting well, you know, you have to go through a battle to be able to get rid of the things that are invading your body, if that is a parasite. You talked about CDS is a really great and amazing protocol if used properly. But like, it sounds like you went through maybe a Herzheimer's reaction. Can you explain to folks what a Herzheimer's reaction is and how it's not bad and sometimes you just need to press through it?
Right. Herxheimer was called that because a guy named Herxheimer first noticed that people with syphilis, when you treated them with penicillin, would kill off so many of the spirochetes that it would plug up their lymph nodes and it would plug up their lymph attics and it would come out under their fingernails and in their saliva. And now if you treat Lyme disease aggressively with light, incidentally, I think ivermectin might work against Lyme. I haven't vetted that yet, but my wife is getting better doing that. That's my whole scientific, she's my guinea wife. So, the Herxheimer reaction is the dead bodies of combatants on the enemy side that plug up your system because they fill the drain with all their stuff. And there could be something like that. I don't know what I had with that with a Herxheimer reaction, but it's a good thing when it happens. You can see it. I mean, it means something. So nothing happens till something dies. You got to kill something.
Exactly. That's good stuff. And a little nod to your buddy, who's the guy who kept me alive at the manna. We'll just leave it at that.
Sure.
Amen. Amen.
He's got a good heart. Clue Fire. Number two.
Amen.
Yes, Coach. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for leading us in all truth. Like Benny said, I truly did enjoy your show. you're in Brighton with Coach was a great interview. Say mental health therapists, I see that benzodiazepines, for example, is being used at least 88 to 90% of the time for long-term or periodical use. And I can see how people get addicted. Now, in some situations, it's good to have the medication, but when it's being used for longer than 12 months, it becomes an issue. And I have a Bible verse to decree over you, my brother, James 2:26. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. And you should do work for the human, for all of us. Thank you so much. God bless you, brother.
Hey, Chuck, we sound official here. We have an online question here, Chuck.
Okay.
What are some deadly protocol drugs in the hospitals that we got to make sure we avoid?
Any narcotic, fentanyl, any benzodiazepine, tranquilizer, anything that relaxes you, anything for anxiety, even some antihistamines are unnecessary, but they're not as deadly as the others.
All right.
Remdesivir is right out. Presidex is and other. I had a doctor in El Paso that was from Ciudad Juarez, and he died. Because we cured his COVID, we got rid of his lung, his pulmonary function, his heart and lungs were all fine, but the Presidex killed him. And I'll never forget him. He was a wonderful guy.
Chuck, we got a couple minutes. We won't be live, then we'll go into the after show. Just got a couple minutes. What do you leave us with here, Chuck? The people out here.
I want you to pray, and I want to thank God for a development in Mark Boudreau's case. Mark Boudreau was a Hasbro Kenner toy master that invented the Star Wars action figures and Millennium Falcon in the 70s. And he has been on a ventilator in a hospital in Cincinnati for 14 months and got none of those things to start with. And he's the longest living person I've had with us, and he wants to live, and he's getting better. We did a bunch of things that made him get better. We changed the formula that he got in his D-tube. We got rid of a lot of other things. We got all the narcotics off. He's breathing on his own spontaneously, maybe 3 or 4 or 5 hours a day, but he still has recurrent pneumonias. But there is a new protocol by Vitti Labs, V-I-T-T-I, that Peter Corey told me about. He texted me and he told me to look at Vitti Labs, that there are stem cells that come from umbilical cords and not fetuses, actually feti, but not from little babies. That's what I call them. That's when you're counseling people, you call them babies. And stem cells can generate new lung tissue, and they cleared out whole ICUs in New York State with it until the FDA shut them down to do a better study. But the trials are almost over. Sometime in May, it'll be available, and we can grow new lungs. That's why you keep these people alive against all odds, because you might be able to regrow their lungs.
So, Chuck, listen, I don't want to expose you too much. How would people get a hold of you, Chuck?
Scienceandwonders.com has all my contact information, including my cell phone. Don't call me, text me, and I'll call you back. That's my whole medical record, is iPhone notes and texts. And I don't have to have a secretarial staff because of that.
Okay.
So you do it, bro.
Chuck, you're an unbelievable wealth of information, and we thank you for joining us. Now, look, Chuck, we're going to stop being live, but we're going to stay right here. Okay.
Okay. I'll keep breathing.
You keep breathing. And some of these folks will have a question. And when you have to leave, you say, hey, I got to go to the bathroom. I got to leave, and be free to go. Hey, Chuck Thurston, scienceandevidences.com. Is that right, Chuck?
No, Science and Wonders.
I'm sorry. Scienceandwonders.com. God bless you, folks. We'll see you tomorrow.